It's time to make disciples who make disciples.
With Church of the Savior in Worcester, here's Dr. Brent Durham with today's word from Church of the Savior.
Before we go back to Galatians, I wanted to do two sermons on the 250th anniversary for our country. Look at Psalms 33, verses 12 through 22. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth, he who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from the death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. All right, let's go down through this and let's look at this as we go along. The first thing is God honors a nation that acknowledges his sovereignty. When we realize and we accept and acknowledge God as being the sovereign God of the universe, the master, the creator, the God that breathed into us life, spoke into creation all it is. When we accept that and we acknowledge that, it gives us a couple things. One, it helps us to understand purpose and direction. And that goes not just for individuals or families or churches, that goes for countries. You can look around the world at countries that are infested with demons. Here's what demons do. Here's what Satan does. Anything that God does, Satan will try to counterfeit. He will do whatever he can to feed the lies of power, of absolution to anyone who will listen to them, anyone that will give him the time. That's why Scripture says over and over, don't give up any ground to the enemy, all right? Also, when we acknowledge God's sovereignty, it helps us and guides us through times that are good and bad. You can think about times in our history where there have been riots, there have been strife, there's been division. All you got to do today is turn on the TV or listen to a podcast, and you'll see how divided our country can be. Psalms 22:28 says this, "For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations." Daniel 2:21, he changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. See, the thing is that God in his sovereignness allows countries and allows leaders to rise. Usually that's part of the judgment on the people because they've allowed everything to get to that point. What happens when God's not acknowledged as sovereign? God's blessing gets removed. Chaos begins to rule. What's that mean, that chaos begins to rule? Well, how many of you have ever read the book of Judges? Okay, there's a cycle that goes on in Israel, not just in Judges, but just in their history, all right? And it's a cycle that Israel goes through, and it starts out, God rescues Israel. In time, though, Israel rejects God and starts to worship idols. The next thing that happens is God reacts with righteous anger. And what he does is he hands the Israelites over to their enemies to be oppressed. That's their punishment. What happens over time then, Israel repents and they cry out to God for mercy. God raises up a judge, and the judges were not kings, but they were men and one woman who would lead the nation. They would be the mouthpiece for God, and they would follow God's direction and lead the country. He'd raise up a judge to rescue Israel, and then the judge dies, and Israel does what? They return to idolatry. Now, you look at that, and you think about that in your own life, because it's easy to judge people in Scripture with hindsight. But that happens to us. That happens to countries. That happens to organizations. It happens to churches. What happens is we get saved and everything is great. Everything is going well. And then we start to get distracted by the world. And we start to think of things in this world that will bring us security instead of depending totally on God. And when we get distracted with that, we'll get up, we'll start to have idols. Usually it doesn't start out like just you walk away, you turn away from church, or you turn away from God and start worshiping an idol. Usually it sneaks in, or it becomes something small, and you start to normalize it in your life, and before you know it, it's taken over. Those are what strongholds can be. Remember when we were talking about strongholds? Those are what strongholds are involved with. Idolatry. Think about this for a minute. You might not go to a statue or another temple, but in your heart, you need to ask God to reveal any idol that's there. Am I putting my trust in this thing or idea rather in you, God? Do I trust my eyes and what I see, the appearance of things, and what I feel, the emotion, or do I have faith and trust in your promises of your word? I got to confess to you sometimes, there are things that can become idols, or they start out, and I ask God, and this is something that I pray a lot about, Holy Spirit, help me to keep my undivided attention on you, on Jesus. Help me to get my guidance from your word, to not go on a feeling, to not go on what I see, but on my faith in you. We're all able to be thrown into that. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5, and I want you to think about this in the context of today. This is 2,000 years ago that Paul writes this, but it's alive today. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. That describes the flesh. That describes the time in which we live today. These are the terrible times. But do they all have to be terrible right now? Because God's word gives us freedom. Second thing, God honors a nation that sees the need for righteous leaders. You know, it's almost come to a point, I think, for most people that there is no politician that can be trusted. And when one comes out of the blue, from nowhere, their authenticity is attractive. And sometimes their message is as well. Whether you're a socialist, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, there are such memories of corruption in our government that it's hard to trust any of them. But you have to have a desire and a need for righteous leaders. As Christians, that should not be something that we just say, well, that's just the way it is and let it go. We need to be praying for them. First of all, praying that they find salvation in Christ. Second of all, that they lead with God's values, with Scripture. Freedom and leadership under this, it can't be, you can't find this in prosperity, which is what politicians often promise. You can't find it personal, in a personality, in a one person that's going to be the Savior other than Jesus, or the power that comes along with it. It's found and experienced when we repent and we return to God. When a country has revival, here's one that I keep referencing, Iran. Iran, even though we're in a conflict, war, whatever you want to call it, with them right now, their country, that country, for the last 8 to 10 years, has been having a revival where people have Damascus Road experiences, where they've been radical Muslims, Jesus appears to them, and they turn their whole life around. Some of them have been martyred because of that, because they've made it public. Some of them, when they've told their families, their whole family has come to Christ. They've led them to Christ. Right now, that underground church that's there is growing. It's the same in China. The underground church in China, the numbers that Voice of the Martyrs has is not even a valid number because it's only what can be reported. We don't know what else God's doing in that country. There's revival going on around the world. There's revival going on in parts of our country, in churches. What we should want is to have revival in our own lives and not when things just get bad. We should be in that state all the time. When revival comes, what do people do? When revival comes to your life, you are ready to surrender everything. When revival comes to your life, you focus more on what Jesus has for you than what you want. Your desires get laid at the feet of the cross so that you can pick up your cross, the cross of Christ, and walk daily in your calling. It's not found in anything else. The need for righteous leaders, it demands leaders to lead with integrity and to be just. Proverbs 16:12 says, "Kings detest wrongdoing, for a throne is established through righteousness." In Proverbs 29:2, it says this, "When the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan." Isaiah 1:17 says this, "Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Yeah, those all sound like social justice verses, right? Not the social justice of today, because that's a total distraction from Jesus. This is how we are to live because of Jesus. Even though these are Old Testament references, we're to be different than the rest of the world. As Christians, as followers of Christ, of being lovers of Jesus, that is supposed to transform us so that we want to do what is right, we want to do what is just, and we want to minister to people. If that doesn't connect with you, here's what you need to pray. Lord, whatever is blocking this compassion or this, not sentimentality, but this value of standing up and helping the needy, if there's something blocking that, remove it. Remove it from me so that I can see clearly what you value and what you want me to value. What happens when unrighteous leaders lead? Unrighteous leaders cannot lead justly because they have no compass. I don't always have my Bible on the pulpit because I have my notes written out and I have the verses in. But this is not just a book. This is not just something that you read. It's not just literature. It's not just history. It's not just the good or the bad things you should or should not do. This is the filter that you should look at life through. The world doesn't have that. They don't have a compass because this is the compass. You need to lead correctly and how to lead justly. Instead, unrighteous leaders are motivated by greed and the self. They're motivated to lead because they're getting something out of it, and it's all about them. Remember King Ahab. Everything was about Ahab in his life. Had nothing to do with the people of Israel. Had nothing to do with anything else. It was all what he wanted. You know what? Today, that's a crisis in our country. We have so many narcissistic leaders and narcissistic people that think that everything about life should be about theirs. They talk about their truth. We have a problem figuring out what a man and a woman are. In our country, that's a serious thing right now. That's how silly it is. Your truth doesn't matter. God's word does. This is what is true, not this. God honors the nations that's unified in Christ. Right now, another place where there's a revival going on and a lot of persecution is in Nigeria. There are groups going around, just like Saul did in the New Testament, and killing Christians, persecuting them. That's going on today. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters in Nigeria because they're being persecuted and the government's not doing anything about it. Unity is essential for building the kingdom of God. When I say building the kingdom of God, kingdom work, what I mean is when we join with other churches to do things like we did with Revive, and that's still going on, when we do food fellowship ministry, third Saturday of every month, those are things where we come together, not just as our church, but with other churches. We strive to serve people without trying to make it about us. Instead, we try to make it about a one message, one Savior. And we're all working towards that, not against each other. That's building the kingdom of God. It helps us when we're unified in Christ to fulfill the Great Commission. That's Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. We do it every beginning of every service. Every Sunday we do that. How many of you would go to Haiti or Iran or Canada? I don't know. Whatever the worst place that you would go to or would be the worst place for you to go to, there's missionaries going there, and they're called to do that. What we're called, if we're not called to be missionaries there, is to be missionaries here and to help them, to assist them, to support them with prayer, personally, and financially. That's how we help accomplish the Great Commission. So when we're unified in Christ, the third thing is that God's grace and the love of Jesus can be displayed to the rest of the world. When people who love each other and have grace for each other, even though they have huge difference, can get together to do God's work, it's a beautiful thing. Psalms 133:1 says this, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. 1 Corinthians 1:10, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there may be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Ephesians, Paul writes it this way, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Then in Romans, he writes, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we sing, you hear a lot of people, but when we're singing and we're worshiping, You can't tell who's singing and who's not unless you're looking around, unless they got a really bad voice. And then you should be thankful that they're making a joyful noise. So when unity is divided, there's a word missing there. The earthly standards become the standard of what is right. When there's no unity, it becomes about me. There's no we, there's only you versus me, right? And when that happens, it compromises the gospel and it corrupts it, it perverts it, and people turn to consumerism. What do I get out of it? What do I get out of it? It doesn't become a relationship, it becomes then a product. And a lot of people in churches today are there because they're consumers. They want to get. They don't give, they just want to get. They come on Sunday mornings because they want to be blessed. They want to be revived. They want to be replenished. Listen, we come to church on Sunday mornings to honor God and worship Him. When we sing, pray, or study Scripture, we get benefits for sure, but it's not a product. And when that happens, it becomes less about a relationship and more about an empty religious ritual that you go through the motions with and you sort of checklist off stuff that you think you need. And what follows with that is God's word is non-existent or it gets cherry-picked. It's amazing to me when I hear people talking, and some people even come into our church that have told me, we use the scripture a lot. You know why I use scripture a lot? Because that's where there's power. There's no power in my voice, my opinion, my ideas, my creativity. The only power that gets preached on Sunday morning is God's word. If you're not using God's word, you're a motivational speaker. You're a self-help guru. I see it as being a humble servant that wants to be obedient. God honors a nation when justice is a foundational principle. When you reflect on the character of God, His character is just. He wants justice. That's why He sent Jesus into the world to become our sacrifice, the sacrifice for our sins. Reflecting the character of God means that fairness to those who are vulnerable and helpless, and it brings healing and serves God's purpose. When justice is a foundational principle for a country, those are the byproducts. Those are the things that come out of it. Psalms 33:5 says, "The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love." In Proverbs 31:8-9 says this, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. For the rights of all who are destitute, speak up for the judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy." In Zechariah, he writes this, "This is what the Lord Almighty said, administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another." And finally, Micah 6:8 is one of my favorite verses. "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. What happens when it's corrupted? Well, in today's world, right becomes wrong. And what was once wrong becomes what is the new right. And justice becomes relative to who's going through it, and when they're going through it, and what they're experiencing in it. The problem is, that becomes the standard, and it's very selective. It's very selective by race, by gender, very selective by political party, very selective by denomination. God honors a nation whose citizens live out Christ-likeness. Understanding our devotion is first to the kingdom of God, not to the United States, not to some other country, but to God. We are citizens of heaven, children of God. On earth, we that live here in the United States are citizens of our country. That's true. And there's nothing wrong with patriotism. There's nothing wrong with celebrating that. Celebrating that our founding was based on values that are Judeo-Christian, that are biblical values. There's nothing wrong with that at all. The problem is when that becomes the idol instead of God. When country becomes more important than God does. When we depend on our country, our political leaders, all of these things to bring us freedom, listen, true freedom comes from Jesus. That's the only place true freedom comes from. Even if you're in a communist country, a dictator, whatever, the only freedom that you're going to really get that's going to be eternal and it is going to change the way that you live is through Jesus. because you obey what the Holy Spirit's leading and you submit to God's word. There are things in Scripture, and some of you, we've talked before, there's some things you don't like. Loving your neighbor sometimes. When your neighbor's done something that's horrible, God tells us we have to love them. That's hard to do, especially if you've been a victim to your neighbor. Matthew 5:16 says this, "In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." 1 Peter 2:13-14 says this, "Submit yourselves to the Lord's sake, for the Lord's sake, to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right." Stop just for a minute and think about this. Even if we have the worst president, even if you're living in a country with the worst dictator, you got to remember church history. They started during the Roman conquest and the Roman Empire. It wasn't until AD 70 that Jerusalem was totally destroyed. The temple was totally destroyed. Christians were taken into arenas and they would let wild animals attack them for sport. That was their entertainment. They would take them out, some to frozen places or desolate places, and let them starve or fall to the weather. Some were burned at the stake. You're to pray for those leaders that God has put over you. Listen, I can't understand how or what God's purpose would be in that, but I know this. One of the greatest Old Testament books we have, Daniel, came while Daniel was under the authority of Nebuchadnezzar, which the Bible says he was the most evil man ever. God can use you wherever you're at. Doesn't matter who, well, I'm not going to say that. He doesn't care what system you're in. He cares about your heart. If your nation is not honored by God, you still have a responsibility. You still have a calling to be praying for its leaders, praying for revival, standing for what's true, not just letting things get crazy. God honors a nation whose citizens live out Christ's likeness. Stand for and teach God's word. You don't have to go along. When somebody is saying that they're identifying today as a cat, you don't go get them cat food. That's nonsense. And honestly, when it comes down to it, there's demonic stuff going on there. That somebody would be so confused about who they are, that God creates us with an identity and each of us with a personality that's different. People get confused, they turn, and they get crazy. They need Jesus. They need to understand what the Bible says about them, that they can be saved, that they are valuable, that they do have a purpose, that God has promised them his peace if they surrender to Christ. You have to stand against this ungodliness in our world. It takes courage for us to do that. Philippians 1:27 says, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come to see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel." You live by truth. You live by what God's truth is. And when it becomes a time where you can't distinguish somebody who's a Christian or not a Christian, it means that they've compromised themselves. And when that happens, it becomes all about you, all about me. You start living out what you believe. Common sense becomes nonsense. Living on the feelings or the felt instead of in faith. And what happens is we return to the most sinful desires, the base emotions of our creation. Those things that are the fight or flight, where everything is about our survival. So can we have any hope today? Can we have any hope? Yes. Yeah, we can. We can only in Jesus. We can have hope only in Jesus. First, seek God's will and from God's word. God promises to bless a nation that repents and turns to him. That happens when a nation seeks God's will from his word. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You got to pray for your leaders. Pray for churches, for families to have revival. 1 Timothy 2 verses 1 and 2 says this, I urge then, first of all, the petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. You got to live with integrity according to what the scriptures tell us. You experience abundant life by doing that and living it out publicly. When you live the abundant life, you're not just sheltering it or hoarding it for yourself. It's something that you live outwardly because grace is something you want everybody to experience. In 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about this two times. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. God says this, Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, good times, bad times, crisis, famine, disease, chaos, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God will still give us that blessing regardless of where we're at. Speak the truth with humility, courage, and love. We're encouraged to speak the truth in love. Will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. When we speak the truth with humility, courage, and love, we're to live truly free from the bondage of sin. John 8, verses 32 and 36. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In 36, it says this, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Finally, you share the only source of salvation and lasting freedom that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're to do that. We're not just asked to do it, it's commanded. It's something that we must do. And here's the message that we have for the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 6:44, it says this, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. And I will raise them up at the last day. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Thank you for listening to this week's word from Dr. Brent Durham and Church of the Savior.
The church is at 480 Fry Road at Route 30 in Worcester. You can find out more about their mission to love God, love neighbors, and make disciples online at coswooster.com.
Or at COS Worcester, Ohio on Facebook.
Their number is 330-264-5233.
This program has been provided by Church of the Savior in Worcester, Ohio.